Good afternoon. We're in the Gospel of John and we're still in chapter 14. And I said we'd get through 14 today, but let's do that next week. So we will conclude, Lord willing, next week. Let's turn to the scripture, John 14. Our text we'll read today will be through to the end of the chapter from verse 25 to 31. It'll be the same text next week, but we'll concentrate on the next couple of verses, the last few. John 14, picking up at verse 25. Jesus speaking, "These things I've spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away. I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you. The ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." The wonderful passage of Scripture, the whole of John 14 has been, and in fact all of Scripture, is that long true for us as we come to God's Word. No longer orphans was the sermon 2 weeks ago, and John 14:18 reads, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. And you've noticed there is a lot of repetition in John, and there's good reason for that. Our adoption into the household of God, we observed, that though he died, he lives forevermore. And though we will die, yet we will live because he lives. And then the last point, we noted that God makes his home. God and Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Spirit, makes his home with all those who love him and obey his word. So we'll look at just the first two verses today. So it'll be a study, really one study in two parts. And I had the outline and started my preparation and then realized this last passage is so rich. And I had 4 points and we'll only do the first one today because it's the longest. Otherwise, I would have had you here for an hour. And we have the Lord's Supper and we are trying to make the afternoon sermon a little shorter. We believe in the centrality and the supremacy of preaching in this church. And it's wonderful to be able to have all the means of grace on the Lord's Day together. My prayer is that as we come towards the end of this beautiful chapter today and next week, that we would take to heart the teaching of our Savior and be a people who are not anxious or troubled about disturbing and even apparently sometimes out of control circumstances and providences. May we learn to grow in our trust in God and in Christ, having a greater awareness of the Helper within us, the Holy Spirit, the Homemaker, the one who is making our hearts a fit place for the Father and the Son to make their home with us. As promised in verse 23, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Wonderful passage as we pick it up today. Let me give you an outline, including next week's, the 4 points, the 2 parts to our concluding study of John 14, so you can see where we are going. 4 points, it will deal with the first today. If you want a sermon title, it would be "The Work of the New Helper." The Work of the New Helper. And we only have one main point today, which is a new teacher. a new teacher, there'll be some sub-points. Next Lord's Day will be Christ's gift of peace. And I think as we read the script, you realize there is so much in this last portion. And the main points next week, the second point would be a new blessing and comfort, a new rejoicing, and finally, a new foe. So those three will complete this study next week. So our text today, if your Bibles are open, is those verses 25 and 26 of John 14. And even as we study God's word and that you look at God's word and we hear it, may the Lord by his Spirit use these precious words of Jesus, even today, to prepare our hearts to remember what was before Christ at this time. At the time this was penned about, his suffering and his death, which we will celebrate as we close the service today around his table as we close our worship. So, one point. Number one, a new teacher. A new teacher. Let's read verse 25, 26 again. These things I've spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Wonderful promise to the disciples. Is it a promise to us also today? We have two sub-points. Number one, Christ was their teacher. Christ was their teacher. And we know this throughout the gospel. The name by which Christ was frequently referred to was teacher, or good teacher, or rabbi. And you may remember, there's multiple examples of this in John, but the classic one perhaps is Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, and he admits to Jesus when he says, Rabbi, which means teacher, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And this Jesus was the disciples' teacher. And this started when Jesus was just a boy, I think 9 years old. He was teaching in the synagogues. That Sabbath day when Mary and Joseph couldn't find him, they thought he was with the other kids on their walk out of town. But there he was in the temple, and there were the learned men, the Pharisees and the scribes. And the scriptures tell us they were amazed at his teaching. And the prophecy of Isaiah even reminds us, doesn't it, of the child that is to be born, the son that is to be given. And governments will rest upon his shoulders. And one of the names that he would be called would be Counselor. Counselor. Teacher. The Mighty God. Jesus was the disciples' heavenly teacher. And we have to appreciate that. And the weight of that as he's telling them he's going to die. He's going to rise again. Wonderful, but then he's going to go to his Father because he was their teacher. Jesus opened the scriptures to them, the Old Testament scriptures. He opened the understanding to the writing of the prophets. And losing their teacher, I was thinking about this. It's easy for us. We're looking at the whole passage. We know what happened. But for them, they must have been like a four-year-old son or child to his parents who has a thousand questions all that, but daddy why, but daddy why. You remember when your children were 4 years old, they have so many questions, and for that child to lose his parents would be like, I've nowhere else to go, I'm lost, there's nothing I can do without you. So Jesus was their teacher. The second sub-point, and here we'll spend most of our time, the other helper will be their new teacher. The other helper will be their new teacher. All these troubling events that the Savior is talking about and leading up to his suffering, his death, and his resurrection, his return to the Father. This whole chapter is devoted to comforting these disciples, encouraging them, causing them not to be anxious about these things. Christ's message was clear. from the onset of this chapter, do not let your hearts be troubled. This is one of the main reasons. You recall verse 16 and 17 from a previous study. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. And so Jesus comes to this again. There is another helper who will come. And because of this, you need not be anxious because I'm going away. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, Jesus said, because he dwells in you. What is Christ doing here? He's coming back to that. We looked at this wonderful gift, this gospel promise of the coming of the Spirit some weeks ago. But here Christ reinforces that to the disciples by telling them the nature of the Spirit's work in their heart. What is the purpose going to be of this new teacher that you would have, this helper? He will be a teacher like Christ. And in fact, we observed he is the Spirit of Christ and of God. And he is a helper forever. And Christ insinuates, I can teach you and I'm with you. And then I'm sleeping with and I'm going up the mountain. He will be with you forever, this helper, ever present within them. And Christ points out again, he will be sent by the Father in Christ's name, with like divine authority and power. So as the Son came to earth in the Father's name, even so the Father was to send the Spirit in Jesus' name. And he comes on the ground of Christ's soon to be finished work. In answer to his intercessory prayer, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, and with Christ's authority and power. Jesus, in our text, points out the helper does many things. The Holy Spirit's work in the life of the believer and in the church does many things. But Christ here points out two main things that the helper will do for his disciples. Firstly, he will teach you all things. He will teach you all things. As Christ taught his disciples for the 3 years, day and night, as he was with them, so the Holy Spirit will continue to teach them all things, Jesus says, in degrees and greater depth, as they are able to receive such truths. And clearly not all things absolutely, but all things related to the subject at hand, faith and practice, all things belonging to their life of work in Christ. And you remember, much of their work was going to be to continue the work that Christ started, and they would do even greater things, if you remember. The work of Christ that they will continue to do after his return to the Father. Brothers and sisters, this was fulfilled at Pentecost. And this is true for every believer today. This promise continues to be fulfilled. Perhaps not with the power and magnitude shown in the apostles. For surely their work was unique as they established the early Christian church and the writing of Scripture. Yet, it's the same promise to you and to me today. It's the same Holy Spirit that was in these early disciples who is our teacher today. And the one who teaches us all things through the Word of Christ. All things necessary for faith and practice and sanctification and the Word of God. The revelation of God, the Holy Spirit, teaches us all things necessary. John bore witness to this years later when he wrote 1 John, one of his epistles. Consider that this was written by John to the church, not to the other apostles. And it's true of all Christ's disciples. 1 John 2 verse 20 says, but you have been anointed by the Holy One. Not just the apostles, but you, the church, those who believe in Christ. You have been anointed by the Holy One. You all have knowledge because he taught you. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. He will teach you all things. Secondly, he will bring to your remembrance all I have said to you. He will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. This helper, this teacher, this comforter, the third subsistence of God, the Holy Spirit, will cause them, the disciples, to remember all things Jesus said to them. Brothers and sisters, these words are hugely significant in God's revelation to us today. The Word of God that we have, the written scriptures. Christ is the revelation of God as he taught and said things to them. And it's also significant because Hebrews reminds us that in these last days, he has spoken, God has spoken in his Son. So this is it. God is not going to speak again. He has spoken in his Son. And his Son has spoken his word to the apostles. They have written the word, and this is the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. This is the last time God will reveal himself to us finally and completely in his Son and in the word of his Son. This is the blessed work of the Holy Spirit. This is the blessed work of the Holy Spirit. What does this mean? It means that the Holy Spirit would be reproducing in their souls what Jesus had already taught them. The Holy Spirit wasn't going to bring new truth to them. The Holy Spirit was going to take Jesus' words. All that I have told you, he will help you to remember these things. All that I have told you, he will help you to understand all truth that has been revealed these last days in his Son. Do you see how important and significant this is? And let's remember that this is on the fulfillment of the promise to the apostles, that the credibility and divine authority of the New Testament is founded. We need not fear. Did John leave something out that he forgot? No, it is on this. This work of the Holy Spirit who would bring to their remembrance all things that Christ had told them, he will help them. You may have wondered how the apostles and the other writers of the New Testament scriptures, how did they remember so many details in their time with Christ, all his teaching? John in particular, I was wondering, was this guy a superhuman photographic memory guy? He penned the gospel many years. The three synoptic gospels were already written. And John's an old man when he writes the gospel of John, long after the others were penned. How is this possible? There's no doubt, having lived with Jesus, witnessed his words and his works, if it had been us, what an imprint that would have left on our minds. In some cases, indelible, such a profound impact on their hearts and memories. But over and above all this, in fact, greater than this, they had the promise of the Holy Spirit to bring to remembrance everything Christ had said to them. John's gospel is a perfect illustration of this. The other three Gospels seem to be easier to read and to follow along chronologically. They seem to put the events more in order. But this last Gospel, John, gives us some incredible detail about the things that Jesus said and did, particularly the words of Jesus. John was not a brilliant man or had a photographic memory. Remember, he was a rugged fisherman. Man's memory at best. I'm 59. Oh boy. My mother-in-law's 88. She has a better memory than I do. Man's memory at best is weak and even treacherous. But the knowledge of the divine spirit is unerring and infallible. And so no matter how John forgot so-and-so's name that he just met, yet he would not forget one word that Christ had said, that Christ wanted him to pen in the scriptures. This is wonderful. Brothers and sisters, our faith does not rest on the testimony of man, but the power of God. And brothers and sisters, you may say this is wonderful for the disciples, but in truth, something of this teaching of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is experienced by every true Christian who loves Christ and keeps his word. Never at once does our understanding grasp the whole of the scriptures. I don't know how many times you've read through the Bible in your life, if you've been Christian for a long time, probably many, many times, but never at once do we understand and grasp the whole of the word of God. But if we truly honor God and love his word, in his own good time, the Holy Spirit will come and reveal to our hearts, bring to our memory particular truths in his word and understanding of those things that will be particularly helpful in our case and in our season of life. And I've marveled at preaching and afterwards thinking, oh, that was horrible. Did anyone even understand that? And someone will come and say, the Lord spoke to me in that word like you can't believe. And I'm like, seriously? Because this is what the Holy Spirit does. He teaches us. He explains to us. He illumines our mind like he did when we came to believe on Christ and he gave us a new heart. And we were born again. And so he helps us. He teaches us. He is our teacher. And we see this in the Gospel of John. And we've referred to this before, where something happened and John makes a comment. And then when Jesus is resurrected, they remembered. They remembered. And their faith was strengthened because of that. The writings of Scripture, these writings of men are in fact the words of Christ. They are inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is all the Word of God. And it was the helper's work to do this. And it is still the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts that illumines us, that helps us understand, to understand that it explains to us the word of Christ. How often have you read and something's like, I've never seen that. And the Lord speaks to your heart. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And this reinforces what 1 Peter tells us. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. Many religions are based on a vision and a tablet found somewhere in the desert. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, what's our response? We treasure it. We treasure it. This is not the word of man. This is the word of Christ. We obey it. True believer is one not, as Jesus says, I love you, Jesus. No, it's the one who obeys his word, who treasures it, who hides it in his heart, who our bodies and souls are sanctified by it, our consciences are purged by it, our love for and our faith in Christ are strengthened by it, if we truly love him. If we do not recognize these things, if we do not love and obey the word of Christ, then Jesus says our claim to love him is false. That's what Jesus says. If we don't love his word, if we don't hide in our hearts, if by his spirit we are not sanctified and our consciences cleaned and washed by the water of the word, if we obey it. We love to obey it, even though we fail. But it is our desire, it's our delight, like the psalmist. If we do not have that, then we lie if we say that we love him. For the disciples, There's no need to have troubled hearts. No need to be anxious about these things that are to take place in the next 40 plus days. It is Jesus' central message of this gospel. Take comfort. Strengthen your faith. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Don't be anxious that you will lose your teacher, that you don't feel ready for the task at hand. I will send you another teacher like me. He will be with you forever. It is my spirit. It is the spirit of God. It's actually the same teacher, and he will teach you all things. And he will bring to your remembrance all things I have spoken to you. That's why Christ connects, as we'll see next time, this to what he's already exhorted him to do in the opening words of this chapter. And when he says in verse 27, I think, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Sorry, it's towards the end of the chapter. Everything in this chapter is wrapped up and reinforces to them the objective truths that relieves every doubt and fear and anxious thought of their minds. Brothers and sisters, that is what the scriptures ought to be to us. When we are plagued with trials, when our body is racked with illness, when we have infirmities and troubles that we think will crush us, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. He will illumine the word of God to us. And when we truly understand and assent to these things, that's not enough. He causes us to believe. We heard this morning, the result is faith. The result is faith that comes from these things. Brothers and sisters, this is what I want us to take with us as we come to the table. That God and Christ, by his Spirit, dwells in the believer. He will teach you all things. He will bring to your remembrance all things that I've told you. We have it right here. We have it right here. It's nothing new. So how do I take advantage of this? Read the Word. Pray over the Word. Meditate on the Word. Cause the Word to sanctify you by being obedient to the commands of Christ. Let me close by giving you, in conclusion, by way of summary, just four things. Four things the disciples' teacher on this earth, Jesus, continued to be their teacher by his Holy Spirit indwelling them forever. And he is our teacher today. He, the Bible says, walks among the seven lampstands. Christ has promised his presence to his church until the end of the age. And he is here. He is among the churches of God. And his Spirit is within us forever. He is with his church until the end of the age. Secondly, the disciples' new teacher, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of Christ, and he still indwells every true believer who loves him and obeys his word. This was not a gift only to the disciples. The gift of the Holy Spirit. We have been anointed in him by the same Spirit. He is our teacher. Christ's word is our teacher, and the Holy Spirit teaches us the word of Christ. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit teaches us all things. Nothing new, all things that Christ taught. And he does this through Christ's word and nothing outside of Christ's word. The modern Pentecostal church has all sorts of different ideas. Brothers and sisters, do not look for Christ's word through the Holy Spirit from somewhere else. The Holy Spirit of God that indwells us is Christ's Spirit. And he only speaks through Christ's word. No other revelation. Don't think you can ever dream and bring us some new truth. It is all here. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to teach us Christ's word, which is written. Do not look for Christ's word outside of the scriptures. Fourthly and finally, thus we treasure it. We obey it. We study it. We instruct our hearts with it. Our bodies and our souls are sanctified by it. Our consciences purged by it. Our love for and faith in Christ are strengthened by it if we truly love Him. An unbeliever to you today, let me remind you, let me tell you, Christianity is not just one option amongst many religions that eventually all lead to God. There's no such thing. It is the word of Christ and the word of God, and it is exclusive, for Christ alone is the way. Christ alone is the truth. Christ alone is the life, and no one comes to the Father except by Him. And it's not the word of man, it's the word of Christ. And we have the Spirit of Christ who teaches us the word of Christ. There's a hymn that says, "O precious words that Jesus said, the soul that comes to me, I will in no wise cast him out, whoever he may be." If you're an unbeliever today, consider these precious words of Jesus. "The soul that comes to me, I will in no wise cast him out." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your precious word. How we thank you for your Spirit who we cannot feel and we cannot see. And yet you have promised the one who gave us new life is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. How we thank you for the Helper, the Counselor, the Comforter, the one who gives us assurance of faith as we read the word of Christ, and he causes us to believe the word of Christ. He causes us to love the word of Christ and be sanctified by it. Oh Lord, grant us to be acutely aware of your Spirit dwelling within us, and your Spirit within the church, and Christ's presence with the church. How we bless you for these things. Grant that we would love and obey your word more, for it is the precious word of Christ. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.